Praise the Lord, this is Brother Julius Adeyemi again. We are going through the book of 1 Corinthians. We are now in chapter 12, where Apostle Paul was talking about the gifts, the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is given to everyone to profit with it. And we address it in verse 11 that these gifts are given to every believer as the Spirit wills. He divided it several as He will. So it's not like a gift that you can give to somebody else or you can just turn it on when you want. It is as the Holy Ghost wants, He turns it on. So then it is clear that we are not permitted to go and be seeking counseling from prophets. And say, prophet, can you prophesy? What does God say through you to me? Those are all being done in the churches, but you see, they are heresies. They are wrong in the New Testament. Done in the Old Testament, where in the New Covenant, everybody is given the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you have been born again. We are baptized into Christ by the Holy Ghost and He gives us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every believer, that's why Christ said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So everybody is giving the Holy Spirit to speak with new tongues. Not just the preachers, not just the prophets, not just only the what you call the clergy. Every believer is given the baptism of the Holy Ghost when you are born again. So if you have not been born again, it's a different story. If you are born again, you have given your life to Christ, the Holy Ghost is in you. And then He fills you with the additional baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is called the infilling of power. And that is where these gifts have been manifested from. The Holy Spirit in you will manifest all any of these gifts through you. As the Spirit wills, we have to emphasize that in verse 11. All this worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, in the body of Christ, so that in the local church, one may have the gift manifestation of prophesying, the other may have manifestation of discerning of spirit. It's not something you grab, just the body, the church of the local church will cover that we want this to manifest in our midst, Lord. Manifest this gift in our midst, so far, and then He will distribute as He wills. The manifestation from to someone here, to someone there, to someone there, to someone there. But many times we in our baby chat, we have been praying for it and I want it to manifest through me this one. I want to manifest through me this one. And we never get anything because we are praying wrongly. It is the body, the local church should be praying that Lord manifest your gifts through us in the body of Christ. Distribute it to us. Whoever He uses is fine. Use the pastor, use the sister this, use the brothers for this or that, for any other of these manifestations. It's fine, but we are not to be jealous. Oh yeah, that man, that brother was the one that have the gift of faith. Now you are now jealous of him. No, don't be jealous. Just praise God that it's manifesting in our midst. The manifesting in our midst. We are a body, but people are not taking it as a body. Taking it's my personal property. That is where the body, that's why we are not getting much done in the body of Christ. That's why Christ is not blessing much. Because people are thinking it's my personal property. I can prophesy. When he say something for the whole body, if God is manifesting through you, I have the Holy Spirit, you also have the Holy Spirit. He's manifesting gifts of healing through you and to be used for the body of Christ. He's manifesting just interpretation of tongues through me to be used for the body of Christ. He's manifesting the prophecy through this brother to be used for the body of Christ. He's manifesting the word of wisdom through this brother when you are congregated together to be used for the body of Christ. So that the word of God just comes to bless everybody. That is what the manifestation is all about. Not a personal property that you say. That's why everybody's wanting it for themselves. So that's one of the reasons why the body of Christ has not been getting what we get. We say we want it to happen. We want to be like the first church age where things are happening, but we are not understanding it the way the church age was set up. And that's why Holy Ghost couldn't manifest much, because we are all wanting this for our private use or to get ego. And prophesied to say, he's the prophet, so and so, he never failed. And he's now building up his name. That becomes pride, and God is not going to be condoning that. And that's one of his errors in the body of Christ that has made the things to be far off from the first church, Apostle Paul is now going to talk about verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting from verse 12, that we are one body. That's what we are pointing out. And we are all manifesting just like a body. The hand is different from the head, is different from the nose, and different. Everybody is having some part to play in this physical body called our physical body, human being. So that's how the Holy Ghost also is taking the whole church of Christ as one body, so that this finger can do this, this finger can do that, this tongue can do this, this tongue can do that there, but we are all to supply the body, this body, with all our services. So the man that is able to prophesy is to supply that to the body, church. The one that is speaking in word of wisdom is supplying his service to the body, the church of God. So that's what he's going to talk about here, that we have to see the body of Christ like that, so that all those gifts are manifested as the Spirit wills. So this leg of mine can begin to say, Lord, you, I want to be able to see. My leg can't see. It's made to be walking. Also, this, my eyes can't say, oh, look, I want to be able to smell. No, this nose is made for that, the eyes to see. So that's why the gift is distributed as the Holy Ghost wants. So you can say, Holy Ghost, don't use that. I want to be able to speak in tongues or prophesy. I don't want to just have this. He has given everybody to be able to speak in tongues, but this extra manifestation is as he wills in us. And he has created us for specific services. So the hand can say, no, I don't want to be carrying things. I want to just be standing on the left, stand on me. No, the legs is the one we stand on. The hands is to carry things. So that is exactly what the body of Christ is. God is manifesting these gifts through his body as he has created the body to be. So that we are also providing services to the head. The head is Christ. And the head is the one that is giving direction to every part of our body. But every part is to supply your own service. And not be jealous of the other one. The hand shouldn't be jealous of the leg. The leg shouldn't be jealous of the belly. The belly should be jealous of the back. See, everybody is providing their own service to the body or to the head that is controlling it. So that is the explanation that he is trying to give here in chapter 12 as we go from verse 12 here. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? See, but now, as God said, the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. So he's using the configuration, the structure of our body to describe this spiritual thing. That this manifesting of the gifts is given to every member of the body of Christ as the Spirit wants, as the Spirit ordained it in life, so that one may be prophesying, the other one may only have word of knowledge, the other one can only have the gift of faith, the other one may have gifts of healing, the other one will be having interpretation of tongues, to all build the body of Christ up. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 19 says, if they were all one member, where were the body? See, everybody wants to be able to do this working of miracles. That's great, and they want a name for themselves. If that's all we are all doing, we are not the body, we are not fulfilling everything. We have to have somebody working of miracle, somebody working of gifts of healing. The other one is just word of knowledge. That is, every member is providing their own services. But now are they many members yet, but one body. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. See, even Christ needed us. Remember that. Christ is our head, he needed us to continue this work on earth until he comes. So he said, the head can't tell the feet that I don't need you. I can go without you. No, you need the feet, otherwise you'll be crippled or you'll be one-legged person. Verse 22 says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. What do you think of a body? You think one part of it is not necessary? Oh, say this finger is so small, I don't need it. No, you need it. If that finger is not there, the whole hand will be able to coordinate together to carry something. You begin to feel that there's a lack. That little toe that looks like it's not necessary in your foot, tiny little toe is necessary there. If it's not there, there will be some things you can't step on properly. Why? Because that toe is there for a purpose. God has a purpose for that little toe. Don't think it's useless. Even the nail on that little toe is just as important. If it's not there, That too will just be flesh of me that has no more strength. So God has a purpose for every member in our body. Even the skin, take care of it because it's serving a purpose. That's why he said, even the members of our body that we think is feeble are necessary. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Even the skin, that's why you keep polishing your skin with cream every time. Why? Because it looks like it's not important, but it's important because you want to keep it shining also. Abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. So God has ordained it that way. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, that no division. We must have united, everything must work together, coordinated together by the brain coordinating our works. If this hand can carry this thing, this one joins to carry it together. Let's say the two can carry it, then you use your foot to lift yourself up. So those are all coordinated by the brain. And that is the same thing, the body of Christ is like that too. That's what he's trying to use as example. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You think about it. Even if you are Olympic and you say, you run the race, the leg, so you think it's your leg that just did the job. Oh, this man, his leg is so muscle, it's fast. Look at how he won the race. He was champion, he gave the gold medal. Do they hang the medal on the leg? No, they hang it on the neck. So, does the neck do anything? Well, you better believe it's skipping the head there, you know, sir. And the head is not doing anything. Oh, you better believe it's controlling the leg. So, well, then they give the gold medal to the leg, to the whole body. And even the finger looks like it's not doing anything, but it's the one making this run. This race. Everything is coordinated together. That's what Apostle Paul is giving us an illustration here. That all members rejoice together when the member is one member is enjoying the victory. But if one member is suffering, all members will suffer together. If just your finger is pain, aching because of some injury or something, the whole body is aching. They are not trying to take things carefully because of that finger that's aching. That's why I say, if one member is suffering, the whole body is suffering. Verse 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So, you have to be one another's body. It's what is coming to. We are all in this together. Verse 28. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healings. Helps. Governments. Diversity of tongues. Those are administration in the body of Christ. And he said, are all apostles? Are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, are all the gifts of healing, or do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I encourage believers to covet, that means seek for the best gifts. As the body of Christ, seek for it. But we want to manifest these gifts in our midst. That's how you covet it, pray for it. Not that manifest it through me, I want it for me. No, it's for the body of God. Manifest it in our midst, and God can then give one through you, give another one through that one, give another one through that minister. Not for your own gain, not to make yourself name, to make you look big. That's very important, because that's where people run into problem and God withdraws. And when God withdraws, you know what happened? The demons took over. Because they see that this man loved that show, he loved that glory, vain glory. And once they see that the Holy Ghost is not going to use the man desires being glory, that seeking will make the demon just begin to, you won't know that he's not listening to the demons. People have been accused like that in our generation, where they prophesy to the Holy Ghost, but they want to prophesy every time, they want to stand up and point to people and tell them their life, and if the Holy Ghost is not making it, they want to make it up, and the demon just come in and give them words. That could be lies. Do you know what's speaking through you? Can you recognize it's the Spirit of God or Spirit of the devil? You are just hearing some voice. Are you sure who's speaking? So that's why you want to be right. Make sure you are right. Make sure you are listening. You let the Holy Ghost manifest through you. But if you are desiring it for yourself, lusting after it, wanting it for yourself, then the Holy Ghost won't be able to use it, and the demons will take advantage of your lust, become lust, not so. And the advantages of lust is what the devil will take hold of, and you will be prophesying lies. And you can see something like that, like something like that has happened recently. When American presidency was being done, many so-called prophets, they wanted their name to be on the book that they prophesied that Mr. Trump would be the next president. They had somebody said it, they also want to say it, and they make it up, or they, many of them turn out to be liars because Mr. Trump didn't win. They wanted to force it. They wanted to force it, but God was against them because God resisted the proud. He gave grace to the humble. God was against them. That's why many of them are ashamed of themselves. Some of them went and repented that they were sorry. Others still wanted to say, oh, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Came to be prophets. Well, you see, they wanted this fame, this fame, deserve of vainglory, to say they are the one that prophesied it. They are the one that prophesied first. They saw it. God told them, this man is going to win. And it's building themselves up. They are not building God up. They are building themselves, their ministry. Many of them even just want to sell books. So I say, well, Professor Sanson, let me read what he said. And that is merchandising the word of God. And that's why God has to stand against them. Many of them are ashamed when it didn't come to pass. And now many of us were praying against those things. But we don't want this thing to happen like that, because we are praying for the body of Christ. And in the end, God stands with the world, with those that are praying for the truth. So many of those people that just wanted fame for themselves, they became disappointed when God didn't stand with them. That's why we are saying, you are not to be seeking, you are to pray that God manifest the gift through us. Not through me, I can prophesy and they will know me. They'll know me that I'm great. That's greatness for yourself, not for Christ. And when God does not give it to you, these demons will come in and begin to give, we call it familiar spirits, will give you the words to say, and you think, I'm hearing something, and you want to prophesy, but it'll be lies. And then you become a false prophet. Do you want to be a false prophet? A lying spirit, and go to hell with the devil. So let's do this thing right, brother. Let's do this thing right, sister. Whom are you serving, yourself or the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to serve yourself, you want to make name for yourself, or you want to bring glory to Christ? I'd rather hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, in the end, than to make name, make books, make money in this world, make fame for yourself in this world. That's not the goal. The goal of Christianity is to get to before Christ and say, and hear the word, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is what all of us should be shooting for. And that's what I'm encouraging you also to be shooting for. Praise the Lord. We are going to go into chapter 13 now. We are possibly going to talk on something else. Now, he's going to talk on something else that is very important. Very, very important. Though I speak with the tongues of men, now he's going to talk about love here. Because after he has talked about Holy Spirit gifts, he's realizing that what is going on among the Corinthians could be that something is missing. He started by saying, everybody say, I'm for this, I'm for that. They are talking about self, I'm for this, I'm for that. Their personality, their following personality. Then they are talking about somebody is committing a fornication here. They are getting their division of God's husband and wife here. They are defrauding one another here, over there. What's going on there? And then they talk about Holy Ghost. Everybody wants this thing, everybody wants this particular, everybody wants to be prophesying. And he said, well, let's talk about love. Something is missing. The one that is missing, the ingredient that is missing in the body of Christ may be this. He goes and reads chapter 13 here. And he's saying it to everybody to take knowledge of. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love. I'm going to use the word love because they translated the word agape to mean charity. Which charity to the mind of our generation, it's like giving gifts to the poor, is what they can charity. But love is deeper than just giving gifts to the poor, because you see it in next verse. I say, even if I'm giving all my goods to the poor, which people will call charity, and see, don't have this thing in our heart called charity that means love. That divine love is what he's talking about here. Let's use the word love here. See, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, which is God's kind of love, agape love. He said, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That is, if I have all these gifts you just mentioned, the manifestation of the gifts, everybody wants for themselves to be so that they will know they are the one doing this, or they have the gifts, or this is the power gifts. And say all of those gifts that don't cover it for yourself. That's how I say, don't cover it for yourself. Cover it for the body of Christ. God manifests in our midst. Then we come and say, God is in your midst of the truth. Is the what you want to glorify God for. You say, when somebody comes among you and you prophesy to them, their secrets of their life is exposed to them in chapter 14. You say, they will fall down and say, God is in your midst of the truth. Not yours is in you, brother. God is in your midst. That is, the glory is to God, is in our midst. That's what we want. But if you are thinking it's to glorify you, that you, God is speaking through you, my brother, not through that brother, through you, then you are glory, you are receiving the glory that belongs to God. God is not going to even sanction that. And if you see strongly desire it and pressing for it, the demons will accommodate you. And you won't know who is speaking through your mouth. You think it's the God, and it will be demons telling lies that are not fact, that are not even truth. So that's why you want to do this thing right. Do it right by just praying the Lord, manifest it through us. Whoever you want to use, just let God be seen in our midst. That will make God to manifest as He wills. So Apostle Paul now is telling us, if you have all of these gifts and you are not having love for one for another, the gifts won't help you. See, you'll be like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2 says, and though I have the gifts of prophecy, see what we are saying, all those manifestations, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, so I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, now that's the one everybody thinks is charity. When you give money to the poor, you help somebody that is saying, you can be doing that and still don't have this love. And though I give my body to be burned, I mean, you say, well, beat me for him. You can do that, still don't have love. Love is a spiritual thing in your heart. And have not love, he says, it profited me nothing. Love, this is now going to describe this characteristics of love. Suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. See, it's talking about character. Your love must not envy the other person. If you love them, they are getting promotion, you will be praising God for them. But you have not got your own promotion, well, just trust in God. Love envieth not, because envy will bring jealousy and hatred for the person that is praising God. So, love envieth not. Love vaunted not itself. If you are the one that is getting everything, you don't proffer, oh, gee, I am the one that God is using here. That is vaunting yourself. If you love these people you are ministering to, you won't want to say, I'm the one God is using here. Everybody listen to me. That's vaunt. He said, love does not vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. He said, you be humble, because that God dwells with the humble. Love does not behave itself unseemly. In other places, he said, it's not rude. Love seeketh not our own. Self-centered, self-seeking. It's not what love is. It's not seeking its own, that I must have the finances. I must start the finance without seeking your own. Love is not easily provoked, as the gentleness of Christ. Not easily provoked. And love thinketh no evil. That's where you resist the thoughts that come to your mind. The devil brings the thoughts that man is this, that fellow is that. No, shut it down. Those are evil thoughts. Love does not think if you love this brother, you won't be thinking evil of them. And if anything happens, any demon whisper evil, you rebuke the devil. Let me tell the brother, rebuke the devil that is reaching evil to any person, and let them run away from you. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love must rejoice in the truth. Love beareth all things. Bear it. If you love, like your husband and wife in the household, the fellow did something wrong, bear it. Try to live with one another in peace. Love beareth all things. I was like, I can't bear it anymore. I'm separating from this husband, from this wife. Then you are not walking in love anymore. Love beareth all things. Well, the man wants to kill you. Well, you can get away from the threat of being killed and just until there is peace in the house and but settle it back. You see? But bear all things. If you say, no, we are not, I can't handle this anymore. We are going to court and divorce. That means love is not bearing all things. Love believeth all things. Now, that's another thing, what is believing all things. Your child came back to you and tell you what's going on, you already say, no, you are lying. How do you know he's lying? Oh, he lied yesterday. Then train the child not to lie anymore. So that you say, if you say, I'm going to believe you, love is to believe all things. I love my child, I believe what he said. But if you tell me lies, When I finish that, I'm going to give you double punishment for telling lies and not telling the truth. And that was how I trained my own children, that don't ever tell me lies. If I say, why did you come late from school? Don't tell lies, just tell the truth. If you're going to serve punishment, serve your punishment. But to say, well, yeah, something happened, and they find out that, no, nothing happened. You are playing with your friends when you should be home. Then you are going to be doubly punished. So that is, love is to believe all things. But if you found that somebody is telling you lies, you better cut the lying till early when they are young, so that they know the truth, that they are to tell the truth always, because all liars are going to the lake of fire. Love is to believe all things. Love hopeth all things and endureth all things. We are believing God that is coming back. We believe and hold on to it that he's coming back soon. And we're going to endure all sufferings until he come and take us in rapture. That is love, because we love God and we love the thing he's bringing to mankind. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. All this manifestation we are talking about, there will be no more need of it when we get to heaven. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, somebody tried to use this in some time ago, say, well, we don't need the Holy Ghost, but it's the gift of the Holy Ghost, we don't need it anymore. When we have love, we don't need that anymore. He's talking about when we get to the glory, nobody will need to prophesy to you anymore. You are already in heaven. Also, but right here and now, we still need this manifestation of these gifts. We need those manifestations of these gifts to do the work of the Lord. We also need love also. But when we are perfected in love, it's not the manifest gift that's going to get a good praise. It's the love of God that's going to be well praised. The fruit of the Spirit is what is praised by God. Not the manifestation, because the devil can manifest some of those gifts, but he cannot manifest the fruit of love. Remember that. The devil cannot manifest the fruit of love, which is divine love that is describing the attributes of long-suffering, patience, gentleness, meekness, kindness, brotherly kindness. Those are fruits of the Spirit that will manifest in your spirit when the Holy Ghost has taken over your life. And that is what God commanded us. The gifts of the Holy Ghost will not take us there. The gifts, manifesting of those gifts, will not take us there, because the devil can mimic those gifts. But the fruits of the Spirit, love, that's your fruit bear, that you bear, that people can see and see your good works. Those are the ones that's going to get you to heaven, the fruit of the Spirit. That's why he's saying that if you don't have love and you have all those power, gifts and miracles and so on, you are nothing. You need the divine love of God to manifest in you. Sometimes you practice it so that it becomes part of you. See, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I speak as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of this is love. He said, the greatest of all those things is love. And that's why Apostle John in his epistle to the first epistle, he mentioned over and over again that God is love. And I'm going to wrap up this chapter with that. First John chapter 4, verse 16. Where he said, beloved, let us, from verse 7, he said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not is not of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In verse 16 said, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. I will continue this in the next broadcast. God bless you. Walk in love.